Good morning. Our reading today is from John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words to us this morning. We lift up Tim to you as he preaches. I pray your blessing on him and us as we hear what you want us to hear for your glory, Father. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you and be together and just seeking the Lord. Who was praying? I want more of you. That's what I was praying. You know, this series we're in is about going deeper. Who wants a deeper experience of God? I do. I want more of his love. I want more of his power. Maybe that's your longing at the moment. But maybe you're wondering, I want that, but is that really possible in my life right now? You know, last week's invitation to swim in the depths is a wonderful invitation, but maybe you're wondering, well, how is that possible? You know, that's what I want to talk about this morning, about why actually many Christians don't experience all that God has for us. You know, why instead of seeing our prayers answered in amazing ways, like we have just heard read for us in verse 7, ask anything in my name, it can actually often feel like our prayers are hitting the ceiling. You know, why instead of having a life that feels full of fruitfulness, our lives can often feel dry. What is the key to fruitful living? Well, to answer that question, we need to zoom out and remind ourselves of the big picture and the context of this amazing teaching from Jesus. You know, just like with any part of the Bible, if you don't know the context, you can actually miss the whole meaning of it. And that's never more true than with the kind of famous passages like we have here in John 15. And that's one of the reasons, actually, as a church, we so often go through whole books of the Bible, or whole sections of the Bible, to try and make sure we don't make that mistake of misunderstanding God's word, which we're going to see has really high stakes. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am this true vine that you must stay connected to bear fruit, and without him, you have nothing? You know, clearly he's setting up a contrast, isn't he? If he's the true vine, what is he replacing? You know, this imagery would have sparked off a whole series of biblical metaphors in the disciples' minds. You know, the vine is not just a clever illustration of our relationship with God, though of course it is that. It is much more important than that. It's a really important symbol in the Old Testament that is used to describe Israel, God's people. The vine was the people of God. We see that in Isaiah, we see that in Ezekiel. We see even actually across the temple archway, there's a vine pictured there. We see it in the Psalms, like in Psalm 80, verse 14, which is a prayer about the vine. It says this: "Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine, listen to this, your vine is cut down. It's burned with fire at your rebuke. Your people perish." I mean, what's going on here? I mean, this is a really sobering picture of the vine of God's people being cut down. Why? What's happened? Well, if we go back to the beginning of the history of God's people, all the way back to Genesis 12, when God calls Abraham, he calls Abraham to be a blessing to the whole world. He calls that, he says that you and your descendants are going to be a light to the Gentiles, hope for the world. And yet, if you know the history of God's people, though they had some highlights, the kind of overall story is a consistent failure to be a blessing. You know, instead of transforming the people and the places around them, they actually end up just being just like the people around them. And one of the kind of big questions of the Bible is, how do you get a people who will actually be different? How do you get a people who will truly bless the world and bear fruit in the world? And so when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," what he's saying is I am going to fulfill this purpose that you have failed in. That's what this teaching in the upper room is all about. How God's people can finally become what they were meant to be. And this is encouraging because it's about how we, you and I, can also finally become what we were meant to be. You know, the invitation to go deeper with God is not an invitation just to a nice kind of warm experience once on a Sunday morning when you just kind of forget about the world. No, it's an invitation to be part of the greatest and most important purpose you could ever be a part of. You know, in chapters 13 to 14, up to this point, Jesus has been reassuring his disciples, trying to calm their fearful hearts. And now he invites them into something huge. God's extraordinary mission to change the world. What follows in these coming chapters and what we're going to have in these coming weeks is like a fast-track mission course on how this extraordinary kingdom of God can come. We're going to see the beauty of it. We're going to see the cost of it. And we're going to see the power of this kingdom. If you want to go deeper with God, you know, it is vital that we join the purposes of God. How do you do that? How do you do that when you're just kind of struggling to make it through the day when life is so busy? Well, it all comes back to this word that Chris shared earlier. Come closer. Come closer, Jesus says. Abide with me. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, if time with Jesus is so wonderful, yeah? If meeting with Jesus is such an amazing thing, if that's the key to our life and our power and our godliness and everything, if it's so good, why do we struggle? You ever thought about that? Why do we struggle? Anyone struggle to abide? Why? Why is that? Well, firstly, I think it's because when we abide, we have to firstly do this. We have to allow God's pruning in our lives. Now, Jesus says, verse 1, his Father is the gardener, And he's working on the vine, cutting off fruitless branches, pruning others. What's the goal for the gardener? What does the gardener want? Fruit. He wants fruit. This is to my Father's glory, verse 8 it says, that you would bear much fruit. So God wants us to live fruitful lives. He wants this world transformed. And fruit in the Bible includes all kinds of things. You can see it's primarily salvation, but it includes social justice. We see that in Isaiah. Care for the world. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. How does more fruit come, according to what Jesus says here? How does the gardener get fruit? Pruning. Pruning. Now, I'm not a great gardener, but I have discovered over recent years the power of pruning. We have quite a few roses in our garden, and if they are left unattended, they just become a horrible mess. They don't produce great flowers. But if you prune the rose, it is amazing what happens. You get these blooms like you've just never seen before. It's just stunning, and you keep pruning, and then they keep coming. And the principle of pruning I've learned is the way you prune something is you remove the dead, the disease, the damaged branches. But you don't just do that. What you do, you also you remove the branches that are sort of growing inwards. And you allow light to come in, and you encourage this kind of open framework. You know, Jesus says our lives need that sort of work. Unattended, they become a mess. We don't naturally kind of produce fruit without pruning. We need God to work on us, redirecting us when we grow inwards or go in the wrong direction. We need things removed. We need to be cleaned up. And though the result is beautiful, here's the problem with pruning. Pruning is painful, isn't it, in our lives? Pruning is super challenging. You know, as God cuts off the things we shouldn't be trusting in, like money and success and ambitions that are not about his kingdom. When he allows hardship into our lives so that all we have to cling on to is him. It hurts. And in those pruning moments, the temptation can honestly be to run a mile. And so in that context, Jesus says, this is what you need to do in those moments. Verse 4, remain in me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. I will never leave you. He says, you can trust me in those difficult pruning moments. You know, my own story of coming into ministry is a story of pruning. I had a plan. I had a career to get on with, and I thought that in my 20s, pastoral ministry might be down the line, but probably not until I'm my 40s. And in my mid-20s, I became very ill. And it looked like disaster, to be honest. I had to leave my job. We had very little money. At one point, it looked like we had no home. And we were like, what? And yet, God, actually, as we look back, was pruning, was changing our direction so that we could bear more fruit. And I want to simply ask, is God doing that for some of you at the moment? You going set on a certain way and God wants to lead you on a different path? Are you allowing God to be the gardener? Are you like, oh no, I want that role. I want to shape things. I want to do things this way. Maybe this morning what you need is fresh faith to trust the pruning work of God. Actually, the whole purpose is for our good. Perhaps you've been tempted to run away and you need to draw close to God and his people. Hebrews 12:11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. What is God trying to train you in? What's God trying to train us in as a church? You know, God has been pruning us. Why? So that we can be more fruitful. Do you know the gardener is never closer to the plant, the vine, the branches, than when he's pruning? Is God pruning you at the moment? Expect God's pruning, accept it, allow it. But secondly, expect God's fruit in your life. You know, God's goal isn't just to kind of leave us bare and leave us fruitless, to cut things off. No, his goal is for growth and fruit. Verse 5, Jesus repeats, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's like we're obviously tempted to get that the wrong way around. I am the vine, you are the branches. I'm the true vine, you are the branches. Remain in me. Why? Because if we do, verse 5, we will bear much fruit. Verse 7, again, Jesus says, remain in me. Why? Well, if we do, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done. Isn't that an amazing promise? Isn't that wonderful? Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Jesus wants fruit. He's going to bring fruit. But the opposite is true. See, if we remain, we'll be fruitful. But there's very clear warnings in this passage that if we don't remain, a branch away from the vine is useless. It dies. It can't do anything on its own. And you see very clearly in this passage the reality of God's judgment. And you can't help but think of someone like Judas, who we've just encountered. You know, someone who was close to the things of God, but never really trusted God. And Jesus says, look, there are two paths open to us. A path of fruitfulness, or a path that ends in destruction. Which path do you want? And I'm guessing they're thinking, well, we want the fruitfulness path. And that's what I'm thinking. Well, I want the fruitfulness path. How do you then do this abiding thing? How do we make sure we are fruitful? Well, Jesus tells us, verse 7, he says, if you remain in me, and listen to this, and my words remain in you. This is the key. This is always one of the biggest challenges for the church. Will we trust God's word? Jesus is calling for a church of word and spirit. You know, when those two things come together, when God's people are open to the spirit but are centered on the word of God, there is amazing power. The word of God is described as a double-edged sword. It's the sword of the spirit. You know, why is the word so important? Well, Psalm 19 says of God's word, I've just pulled out a few things here that's in Psalm 19. It says it refreshes the soul. It makes wise the simple. It gives joy to the heart. It gives light to the eyes. It's more precious than gold. It's sweeter than honey. In keeping his commands, there is great reward. But then it says this, who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden thoughts. You know, God's word is unimaginably precious. You know, that's what Jesus uses to combat every assault of the enemy. It's God's word. And yet the Bible's clear as well that we really don't know, you know, how to live and how life is to work without God's word. How do you know which feelings you should follow in your heart and which you should reject? How do you know what's going to be good for us in life? The answer is that God knows. He's the gardener. He's the creator. And he promises that if we dare to trust his word, even when we kind of don't understand everything, when we dare to kind of stand on the promises of God and step out in faith, he promises to bring fruit. You know, the most profound worship song I ever learned was when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I was taught it by two little old ladies. And it went like this. Read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. If you want to grow, If you want to grow, read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to grow. Are you doing that? This is an amazing, powerful word. It transforms our lives. You're allowing it to change you and shape you and empower you. You know, Paul says, doesn't he, the apostle, he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you want to go deeper with God? Do you want a fruitful life? Maybe you do, and you think, oh, but I'm so rubbish at remaining. Do you ever listen to messages like this? You think, yeah, I know I should pray more, and I know I should abide more, and but I just feel useless sometimes. What do you do when you feel like you're failing to remain, but you want to remain? Maybe you kind of despair at your inability to obey, to live this life of blessing to others. What do we do? Well, this is why we have to keep coming back to the Word of God. Because the Word of God says this. Look, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. How are the disciples already clean? I mean, their story is one of mess, and more mess is about to come. How are they already clean? Well, it's back to this true vine and what the true vine does. You know, Jesus, the true vine, does what the old vine completely fails to do. He lives this beautiful life of love and grace and compassion and giving sacrificially of himself. I mean, the most fruitful life ever. Would we agree? So Jesus, age of 33, he's at his most fruitful point. Yeah? Just life bearing fruit. The true vine. Why on earth then does the true vine get cut down? Because that's what happens. He's at his most fruitful point in his life and he's cut down, killed. Just like we saw in Psalm 80, just like the people of God. Why? What is happening? Well, at the cross, Jesus is taking our place. He's taking the place of the old vine. He's taking the consequences of failing to live for God, of failing to be this people. The true vine is cut down. He takes our path of failure so that we can travel his path of righteousness and justice and love and hope. And he says, come to me. Come and receive grace. Come and receive new life in me. Come and reconnect. I've made a way. And for all your failure, I've made a way for forgiveness and for change and transformation. You know, to live a life of mission, to live a life of fruitfulness isn't about our power, what we can do. It's about God working in us. And that's why the true vine came. No branch can bear fruit on its own, Jesus says, but connected to the vine, we have more resources than we can possibly imagine. You know, last Sunday afternoon, we had a baptism service here. It was a small gathering because Carol, the person being baptized, is not at all well. She's immune suppressed, and but it was an amazing picture of someone abiding in Jesus. Someone determined to trust and obey this call to baptism. To follow Jesus despite all the hardships and difficulties and the darkest path that she's on at the moment. And it was such a profound and moving time. You know, God was touching all of us there, but God was doing amazing things. He was calling people back to him in that service, bringing faith to people. And it was all because Carol was, in all her weakness, just was daring to abide, and therefore fruit was coming. Fruit was coming. She was daring to trust in Jesus and lean on his word, and fruit was coming, not just in her life, but in the lives of those around her. Fruit comes as we dare to trust God, as we allow his pruning. And we say, God, I want to be close. I want to join you in your mission. Let's pray together. I wonder this morning if there's some of us here who you're aware of the pain of pruning. And what you need right now is faith to believe that fruit is going to come. If that's you, I'd just love to pray for you. And with every head bowed, could you raise your hand if that's you? You're just aware of the pruning work of God at the moment. You just need faith. You work of the pain and you need hope. There's quite a few people just raising their hands right now. Lord, you see us. Or those of us who are just aware of the particular pruning work you're doing at the moment. Lord, I thank you that you are never closer than when you prune. And so, Lord, would you make us aware of your presence? Make my brothers and sisters aware of your presence, I pray. And Lord, would faith arise? Lord, would hope arise? Lord, would you help us to trust that you are working for our good and for your glory? Come, Lord Jesus. Just allow the Lord to minister to your heart. Just ask him to stir faith. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust your word as a church. Lord, we know there's so much temptation to just be squeezed into the world's mold. And Lord, I pray for your church, not just here, but your church across the city. I pray this would be a season of your church standing on the promises of God, trusting your word, and being filled afresh by your Spirit. Lord, I pray it be a season of us not just kind of being kind of quietly on our own, but a season of stepping out in faith into your purposes. Lord, a season of deep abiding in you, because it is all about you, Jesus. Faith arise in our midst.